Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me in the back? Thank you for coming today. It's great to be here. This is such a special place. It's a place where we come together to connect with other women. It's a place where we come to pray for one another and get prayed over. And it's a place where we can connect with God and grow in our faith journey. So it's a special place, and thank you for coming today. It takes a lot to get here sometimes, does it not? But you're here, and God wanted you here, and he wants you here every time you make it up this hill. He wants you here for a purpose. So thank you for coming. Before we begin, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this, first of all, for who you are. And for this beautiful day, I thank you for each woman in the room. And we also want to lift up the women who are part of Moms Connect who are not in the room today. Lord, we just want to thank them for making the effort to get here today. And we want to ask special blessings upon them and the families that they represent. Thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Amen. Well, we are wrapping up the season here, the spring season, spring series, based on the book Relaxed by Megan Fate Marshman. In this book, Megan walks us through Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, breaking it up into 12 chapters. And as Patty said, the last chapter of the book is, "He will make your path straight." But I thought that was interesting. It was a standalone chapter because it's not a standalone statement or promise in the Bible. It goes hand in hand with what comes directly before it. So let's put the scripture slide on. Thanks, Colleen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So if you take a look at this, the first line is a do, an active command. The second line is a don't, a negative command, followed by another do, active command, and closes with God's response, the promise, he will make your path straight. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, the do, lean not on your own understanding, the don't, in all your ways submit to him. Not some of the ways, all of the ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight, the promise. Our call is to trust God with our entire heart, which means getting ourselves out of the way. It's a call to acknowledge him fully and to surrender to him completely, because he is the one ultimately in control of our lives. When we do this, he will respond, he will make our paths straight. Or as the message writes, he will keep us on track. Does this mean we won't have bumps in the road? Does this mean there will be no challenges or hardships in life? No. Actually, God promises in the Bible, in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. But it's followed immediately after that with, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This should give us peace. And one theologian sums this peace up by saying, this does not come from an easy life. The peace comes from belonging to the one who has already secured the final outcome. When we stay close to him in this journey of life, he responds with, these are my own words, stick with me, I'll show you which path to take. But what stands out about this phrase, he will make your paths straight, is it implies, assumes, that our paths won't be straight. Everybody can raise their hand to that. Life is full of pivots, right? Try all we might, prepare all we can, dream and imagine what the future holds. The truth is, life happens. Career changes or job losses, family dynamics, health issues, accidents, illness, death. The ups, the great happiness and joys, the downs, the hardships and struggles. One thing is true, life isn't a straight road. It's an adventure full of bends and twists, often meandering and sometimes rugged. They say adventure starts where plans end. Isn't that life? So now I'm going to share a personal story about an adventure. I chose to participate in an adventure with my two sisters and niece about 3 years ago, signing up to climb a 14er in the Rocky Mountains. So a 14er is a mountain with an elevation of 14,000 feet. So you may say, how high is that? That's really hard to visualize. If you were standing at the summit and dropped a pebble, it would fall for nearly 3 miles before it hit sea level. So it's way, way up there. Two in our group of four had hiked many of Colorado 14ers, which was very helpful. This was my first. So I thought I was so on it, training by walking the Lafayette Rim Trail. I'm not kidding. I was like, I'm on. I did it for 2 months, okay? And I put a 15-pound sandbag in my backpack. That's a little more than 2 gallons of milk, which, or, you know, you can think of 15 pounds of sugar, okay? Whatever, but that's a lot of weight on your back. I did that for 2 months, and so all of this preparation built my confidence, it built my endurance, everything I needed, right? I was going in strong, I thought, for what came next. So we arrived a couple of days early to get acclimated to the elevation at the trailhead. I thought I had it all under control. So here we are, here I am, 5:30 a.m., the morning of our hike. We are starting out at 8,000 feet. We were hydrated, fed, well-rested, wore appropriate layers, each carried our gear, our food, our water, extra clothing, electrolytes, on and on and on. Headlamp, poles, you know, you got everything. We even started out smiling, okay? I just want you to know I did start out with a smile. Whoa, okay, so we were prepared for anything. Plus I was with people that have done this before. I'm like, yeah, I got this. I'm in good hands. During the first couple of miles, I felt the elevation hit me. We were walking a flat path, okay? I'm not going to lie. The first thought that came to my mind was, we haven't even started climbing yet, and you're winded. I can't tell you what that feeling was like. I had all day now ahead of me and not knowing anything what was coming. So the first question I thought to myself is, if you're having trouble now, how do you think you're going to continue this path on this hike, on this journey? So I silently started to coach myself. And I started repeating the words as I was walking, you got this, you got this, you got this, you got this. And it kind of became a rhythm, and it slowly kind of started to build my confidence a little bit. About 30 minutes into our route, we encountered our first, actually, I'm just making that up. It could have been 2 hours. I don't know how long it was. Sometime thereafter, we encountered our first obstacle, a stream with slippery logs, with the logs and the aid of poles. You can switch it to the next one, Colleen, thank you, was the only way to get across to the other side. So I'm like, we haven't even started climbing yet. And this obstacle is in our path. You either do this or you turn around. So this slowed us down quite a bit. Well, I slowed everyone down quite a bit, I will say, because other people were, you know, marching right across. Because I thought a mistake might cost me my dry hiking boots, or I actually might get injured. Okay, that'd be worse. That ruined the trip for everybody. So I was nervous. I was very nervous. But I prayed, Lord, just get me across this obstacle. Just get me to the other side. Get me to the other side. Our next challenge, let's say an hour or so later, were these steep stairs. I can't remember how many hours that was. But my silent, you got this, became an encouraging rhythm with each step. You got this. Now up, up, up. You got this. You got this. Repeating the phrase. Can I continue? Am I prepared for all of the unknowns which lie ahead? Notice we're all looking down. We don't want to see what's up ahead. We stop to rest and refuel under any available shade. And the next one. Okay, here's our terrain changed yet again. We could see ahead that vegetation was becoming more sparse, and we still had a long path ahead of us. Once we climbed above the tree line, which is 12,000 feet, we left greenery of every kind behind us, and our new terrain for the next few hours looked like this. Okay. You can see there's no path, okay? So this is new terrain altogether. Now it was actually scary, especially seeing people with injuries stopped along the way, which slowed us down because we stopped to help. And I can't remember what that's called. I think it's called a scree. Like, you can actually get caught in it, and you can, it's like a slide. You can be taken hundreds and hundreds of feet if you get caught in a loose rock and it continues down with your body and part of the terrain. I don't know how else to describe it. But, especially seeing people stopped along the way or coming down with injuries and a person on either side helping them get down. So that was a little scary. My "you got this," okay, changed, and the silent chant now became audible and soon became a standard encouragement we would call out to each other as needed. Each step was intentional, taking our time to choose carefully where we stepped and changed course when necessary. Our legs were feeling the burn. The sun was now directly overhead, and I asked God to help me with just the next step. All I had the energy for, or the mental capacity for, was directly in front of me, the next step, the next step. Just when we needed a lift, we got sidetracked, thank you, God, by these fellows. There were so many, and we I don't know how long we stood there and took videos and photographs, but it, like, now we're smiling again. A truly wonderful surprise that seemed to come out of nowhere. Our eyes turned away from our feet and the next step, and we finally looked up to marvel at these mountain goats, thriving nonchalantly in this rough terrain, full of spirit and joy. This encounter gave us renewed energy we were badly in need of. It was a long path ahead. We couldn't even see the summit. We began to assess our water situation, and when you're low on water or run out of water altogether, at your weakest point in a journey, fear can take hold, and it was creeping in. Did we feel fatigued, sore, steady, dizzy? Did we have enough strength to make it not only to our destination, but also all the way back down to the car? So many anxious questions going through my mind, so many unknowns. Here I thought we can control this hike, this adventure. You got this, you got this. This was the moment when I realized something very important. Preparation and planning could only take me so far on this adventure. Strength and confidence could only take me so far. I needed to rely on someone other than myself to make this journey. The one who encourages me, is with me every step, who strengthens me, is always with me, who has my fate in his hands, and I was called to rely on him, not me. And life is very much like this hike. That's why I wanted to use this as an example, because we can prepare for what lies ahead, but what lies ahead truly is unknown to us, but not unknown to God. Our paths will become crooked, twisted, winding, meandering, full of obstacles, or even broken. This is the kind of world that we live in. But the Bible tells us that with God, he is with us every step. When we are lost, he will guide us. When we're thirsty, he will give us water. When we are weak, he will restore our strength. When life gets rough, he will make the rough places smooth. When we are afraid, he is with us. He will help us. When we feel abandoned or alone, he is always with us. He will never leave us. He brings us peace. He saves us. It's all in here. Every challenge, trial, tribulation, doubt, God is the way through. By the way, we did make it to the summit. And down again, which was much faster and much lighter. We did, luckily somebody thought to bring the drops that purify your water, because we did have to find a stream on the way down. Because yeah, even though we were all prepared, somebody did run out of water. So it was, and we made it all the way down without an injury, thank God. But it was a special moment. We scattered some of our mom's ashes at the top. So it was a very special, special moment, because she lived in Colorado and loved the mountains. So it was really special that we made it. The message writes Proverbs this way: trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure everything out on your own. Listen to God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. God doesn't want us venturing through life on our own. He desires a relationship with us and wants us to fully trust him. Megan, the author of the book that we studied this spring, likens this relationship to a dance. Dancing, this is one of the famous dancing paintings by Renoir. Dancing with a person, she says, and walking with God share remarkable parallels. Both require trust, connection, and surrender. He's the one leading the dance. We can surrender the illusion of control and its consequential burdens. Our part in the faith-filled dance with God is the bride who confidently follows her groom's lead on the dance floor. His leading serves as her guide, and her following shows that she is with him and trusts his leading. Our faith journey is not a solo dance. We move together, letting God take the lead. I'm thinking of a personal little note I didn't know if I should include, but I don't dance like that very often, but I think the last time maybe was our wedding day. And we didn't take dance lessons like many people do and really wow the guests. We just went, okay. And our song came on and we met each other on the dance floor, and Spencer looked into me and he said, "Just follow, I will lead." And that was music to my ears. That's all I had to do. Just follow, I will lead. Well, I think that's, so that got me through that moment anyway. But the point is, it's a dance. When we come to him, he comes to us. He just wants us to come to him. He wants us to ask. He wants to be a partner in this dance. Other examples of this dance in the Bible include, come near to God and he will come near to you. Our part of the dance is to stay close. Does this mean we won't make mistakes, that we won't trip up? No, but if we hold on to the one who is leading, who is not letting go, if we put our focus on him, our faith in him, then the dance will go on. Another passage in the Bible which illustrates this dance with us and God is Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. So our part of the dance in this scripture is a don't. Don't worry about anything. It begins with a don't. But do pray, and pray about all of it. Nothing is too small for a big God. He wants us to tell him everything and wants us to come with him to him with a grateful heart for how he has led us thus far. Around the muck, through the desert, to the top of the mountain, and back down. When we have doubts, take it to God. When we mess up, take it to God. When we sin, when we need help extending grace to others, when we need to forgive, have troubles of any kind, when we don't know how to pray, take it to God. What is the result of not worrying and taking everything to him in prayer, thanking him for all he has done? The result is this peace, a peace that changes us. He wants to take the lead in this dance called life. Another way to illustrate this symbiotic relationship with God is a quote attributed to St. Augustine. God provides the wind, we must provide the sail. This is another example Megan writes in her book. This metaphor, she says, eloquently illustrates the relationship between our efforts raising the sail and God's guiding influence providing the wind. You can't sail, you can't move, can't go anywhere without both things happening. Wind is God's active grace and guidance, while the sail is our prayer, faith, and effort. Without the wind, our sails are useless, but without raising the sail, we don't utilize the grace that God offers. In this adventure of life, in this path he has planned out for you and for me, our hope is in God, who is and will be with us every step of the way. Once we take his hand, he will take ours and guide us back to the path he has for us. Instead of the voice in our heads repeating the words, "You got this, you got this," God wants us to hear him whispering in our ears, "I've got this, I've got this." I'd like to share a poem. It's on your table on the back of your questions. It's by a woman I found by going down some rabbit holes on the internet. I think I found her on Pinterest. Her name's Yuli Kay, and she wrote this poem. Do you know her? Anybody know this poet? Anyway, she wrote this poem based on this scripture that we studied, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It starts with trust. That's the command. In the Lord, that's who, with all your heart. That's how deeply. And lean not on your own understanding. That's choosing his path over yours. In all your ways, that means completely. Submit to him, that surrender. And he will, that's assurance. Make your paths straight. That's a way through. I'm going to close with a prayer that I use this app, Lexio 365. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's a morning, midday, and evening prayer. And they always close with this, and then I'll add a line at the end. Heavenly Father, help me live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. I love that. And Lord, help me to trust, surrender, and lean on you in this journey of life. Be a light to my feet. Amen. Thank you.